So, John, it was about a 3-week gap, roughly, between when the House took a vote on their bills regarding the tipped wage and minimum wage and when the Senate did last night. What took so long?
Well, I'll tell you what. Forget the 3-week gap. This is an 8-month gap from when the Supreme Court made this decision, and we've had all this time we should have been working on it. It's just shameful that we're coming up to the 11th hour without an answer. But I'll tell you, the reason between the 3-week gap is pure politics. And up until, it's not just a 3-week gap, up until I'd say 5 o'clock last night, we were nowhere. There was no negotiations. At least the Democratic majority was just not at all interested in negotiating or giving on any of these things. And so finally we all decided. And, the big thing here, let me back up a little. The big thing here is tip credit's really important. No question about it. Every server in our region has talked to me about this. Every restaurant owner's talking about it. But it's really easy to understand, and that you can get people on your side. The more damaging one is the paid sick time. It's also a part of this whole thing. And that there was no movement on. And at about 5 o'clock, I mean, last night, I said, and I think most of the Republicans said, you know what? Unless we address sick time, we're out on this deal. Because every business owner who is a serious business owner and is looking at the real ramification is just as concerned, if not more, about the paid sick time. So, we're not going to walk away. And what we ended up proposing was that we tie bar whatever the compromise was yesterday on tip credit and then the minimum wage to House Bill 4002, which is fixing sick time. And they ended up agreeing, so we had a deal. But if you saw the vote, this was really wild because 10 Democrats voted no. 8 voted yes. 12, so this was really almost a Republican deal that we did last night. But it could all fall apart next week if negotiations don't go well with sick time.
So are these bills contingent still on the sick time, or are these still independent enough to be passed on their own? And secondarily, what are the exact details of the bill? What does this mean for workers?
Well, okay, first of all, these are absolutely dependent on the sick time. We officially put it in the bill that it's tie-barred to House Bill 4002.
Okay.
Now, so the point is, if they don't come to, we know we're not going to get 4002 as is, which just sort of totally fixes this for our business. I mean, it's still not anything we'd ever do, but it makes it a lot better, I guess. But the point is, if they don't come to an agreement on that, then we're out. I'm not voting on anything that doesn't also address sick time, and we don't have to. So, if they try to change House Bill 4002 into something that's not workable, then we all vote no. And that's just the way it's going to be. And then hope to overturn this in 2 years. But what basically happened last night was a couple things. One is there was a compromise on the minimum wage, which is sort of something we had to give to the Democrats, where it actually hurries it up by about a year, getting the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, I don't like this concept of, I mean, minimum wage is questionable anyways, because sure, the bottom line is it also drives inflation. And so, I don't think anybody who – people think, oh, let's just raise minimum wage, it's going to fix all these problems. It tends to not fix the problem they think they're going to fix. However, I haven't met a lot of business owners up in northern Michigan who are that concerned about that part of this law because it's such a tight job market. Very few are paying minimum wage anyway. So from a practical application standpoint, I haven't heard much complaint about that. The bigger issue was the tipped wage, which right now restaurants only have to pay 38% of minimum wage because the servers make all their money on tips. And this, what was going to go into effect over the course of a couple of years, just flat out eliminated that, which just drives, it's just going to drive our restaurants out of business. I mean, look how expensive things have gotten already. Mm-hmm. Imagine now when they're jacking up their pay and we're still expected to tip, people just aren't going to go out to eat. So we got a little something where they slowed it down, and they had put in a bill where it slowed it down. The original, if we do nothing on February 21st, within a couple of years, the tip credit, it's called, goes away completely. They had proposed that it goes down to 60%. We got them down to 50% in a slower rate of increase. So It was something. It's not great, but it's a lot better than it was, and it preserves the tip credit. Now we got to talk about sick leave, though.
Right. So about that. So, you know, obviously you mentioned the word specifically multiple times, compromise to get the deal done with the tipped credit and with the tip credit and with slipping my mind at the moment.
Paid sick time stuff.
Correct. So paid sick time. Where do you think the compromise is going to come with that? The Republicans have their agenda. Democrats have their agenda. Where's that gap in the middle where you guys can't meet right now? And where do you think it's ultimately going to lie?
You know, I don't really know. That one's a hard one because the bottom line is this isn't something we should probably even be talking about at all because most businesses are doing a good job. And this whole effort was, first of all, driven by a really left-wing, out-of-state group that's tried to get this passed and has had some success in, like, Washington, D.C. and a few other places. But the point is it's all based on one narrative, that business owners are abusing their employees. And the fact is, in this competitive job market, business owners are not doing that. If they do, they don't have a business. And that's what people don't realize. I watch our hardworking small businesses throughout northern Michigan bend over backwards to pay their employees whatever they can, to give them whatever benefits, or the employee leaves because they have nothing but they have plenty of jobs to choose from. And so this is a false narrative. I don't know where we shouldn't be talking about this at all. I talked to one car dealer up in northern Michigan who actually told me, he said, John, we're already giving more paid time off than this bill is going to require. But because there's so many, it's so complicated how they have to track and report it. What they're going to end up doing is he said, I think I'm just going to cancel all paid time off. And then we'll just do what the state says we have to do, which is crazy. Every 30 hours you work, you earn another hour of paid sick time. The way that's about to happen if we don't do anything, you earn another hour off every 30 hours you work. This has to be extended to part-time seasonal employees, part-time employees. There's really complicated tracking mechanisms, which one business in Petoskey told me it's going to cost them $200,000 a year just to comply with this lousy thing. And then there's all kinds of rules. Nick, get this. You can not show up for work 3 days, for three solid days without an excuse, and you can't get fired over that. You're protected over that. I mean, can you imagine that? And so these things, we're not going to love what we get in any of this. It's all bad news. We're just trying to make it less bad. But what I think we can do is get some exemptions for smaller businesses. There's been proposals for if you're a business of 10 or less that you're exempted from all this stuff. I think that needs to be higher. I think it needs to be 25 or 50. There's been talk about that. We'll see what we can get on this. There's a talk about right now you can't even sort of front load it and say, fine, 72 hours a year is what you get off paid time. You can't even just give them that. It has to be reported and all this stuff as it's accrued. So there's talk about easing that so that the reporting is easier. But here's the problem, and you can even hear it in the way I'm explaining. And this, I've been afraid all along since this first came up that we would solve the tip credit and not address the sick time. Because tip credit, you immediately get it. All these servers are going to lose a ton of money and the restaurants can't afford to pay for this. That's an easy story to tell. Sick time is way more complicated, but when you get into the details of it, every business will tell you this is way more devastating than the other one. And that's what we've been afraid of, is exactly what was about to happen last night. They were going to compromise on the other ones and just forget about sick time.
So, you know, you got the Republicans in the House and Senate, Democrats in the Senate working together at least a little bit on minimum wage and tipped wage. But ultimately, the governor is going to have to sign this. And by most reports, she's kind of been fairly mute. In fact, she's not even in the state or country at the moment. But yeah. Do you have any inside information on which way the governor's leaning on some of these compromises?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, first of all, she's totally checked out. I mean, I'm not the only one saying this. Even Democrats are wondering. She was not even around during lame duck. You know, there's these nine bills that are being held up through basically a technicality. In fact, we need a few of them for our corrections officers, where if you watched the story last year that the Democratic Speaker of the House didn't get them submitted to the governor for signature in time until the news, until after the new session had begun, which is illegal. But the point is, the governor hasn't said a word about this. And if these were bills that she wanted, she'd be raising hell about this technicality. Nobody knows what she's doing right now. Now she's in Dubai, right in the middle of this complicated negotiation. We've known this February 21st deadline is coming since last year. And so by all speculation, everybody thinks she's running for president. And I cannot imagine she'd ever veto something like this, which is just slams businesses in Michigan and thinks she has a chance to win anything. So my gut says she'll sign whatever we come up with in this. But, you know, I will do one shout out, though. So Winnie Brinks, who's the Senate Majority Leader, okay, she did something I've not seen anybody do in my time in the 4 years I've been down here, is she put up a bill where 10 Democrats voted no and only 8 voted yes. So the majority of Democrats were opposed to it, and she still had the guts to put it up. That never happens. I mean, they don't put bills up for a vote unless their caucus wants it. But I give her some credit. I mean, that took real guts, and I'll bet she's being slammed today for doing this. But I was impressed with that. So we'll see. I'm not too worried about if we can get this through the legislature. I think there's just a ton of pressure on Gretchen Whitmer to sign it.
Shifting gears just slightly, you introduced Senate Bill 91 this week. Tell us about that.
Okay, that's the one on eliminating taxes on tips, okay? And this is one that I can't believe it's even remotely, all of a sudden it's controversial, and I'm getting criticized by Democrats. But if you remember, both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump said this was a priority in their campaigns, that these aren't really, you know, that this is just something we can do to help the workers. I get these are more gifts than they are a salary, albeit I get that presents a little bit of an ideological or at least intellectual challenge when we're talking about the tip credit thing. But I basically did it because I think it's the right thing to do. And with what it's looking like it could happen with the tipped credit things, we're going to have to do anything we can to help these servers. And so there should be broad bipartisan support. I mean, truth be told, I think we should get rid of the income tax in Michigan altogether. And
sure.
But we're a long, long way from that happening. So I look for little areas where we can do it and at least save some people some money. It's better than saving nobody any money. So
you're still on board with this, because when you released it, you did say, you know, this was kind of a protective layer should a deal to save Michigan's tipped wage provisions fail to come to fruition before February 21st. So even though there is a deal, may not be perfect, but a deal done, you're still interested in pushing this bill forward?
Yeah, I am. I mean, because nationally, if the traction this got when President Trump was talking about it, you know, that had nothing to do with our peculiar law here in Michigan that's about to go into effect. So I do still support it. I definitely do still support it. But, I mean, it does, no question, lose a little bit of its flair if we fix the other one. So we'll pursue it, and we'll put it out there. I mean, one thing people don't realize about legislation is when we introduce a bill, it's rarely what ends up getting finally passed. This is like a first volley, and it's open for negotiations. I want to see what other people think about this. I want to see ways to improve the bill. I have no problem doing that. I still like the bill because it's a big tax cut, and I think we need more tax cuts.
Any final things you want to update the public on that might be happening down in Lansing?
Well, I mean, only that this has been the most, I'm really, really concerned. I gave a speech about this, and this kind of is an indictment of both sides here, that the next 2 years could just be a food fight. I actually feel better after last night because I saw genuine work being done. But up until now, mind you, we're mid-February, and I think we voted on two bills. And sometimes that's good. I mean, sometimes it's better when we don't do anything because, you know, the government can cause as many problems as it solves. However, there are real issues we need to be working on. And so far, I've seen just grandstanding on both sides of the aisle. People talking about huge national issues that we have no say in, the Democrats. Well, look how the term started off. where these nine bills that I don't support all of them, I support a couple, are held up by a technicality, which was like, I think, literally 13 minutes late. So maybe there's ground to stand on. But nine bills being held up by the Republican House. And then the first thing that the Senate does is authorize the Senate Majority Leader to sue the House of Representatives. I mean, how does that bode for a session here in divided government? That looks really bad. So, and then they did a big thing condemning President Trump on his pardons of January 6th. And then we did a big thing condemning Joe Biden for his pardons. And it was just sort of like, this is stupid. This has nothing to do with governing the state of Michigan. And so I hope this issue might spark us back to do some things, because I'm a productive guy. I didn't leave my business behind to just come down here and play government and posture and grandstand for all these years. I came down because I wanted to make the state better and more competitive.
Well, and then good luck with the budget with all of that between you guys, the House and Senate.
Oh,
I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun.
Don't even bring it up yet. My goodness, this could be a total nightmare. But that's all right. I mean, I am my goal is, you know, there's no way we're going to have less spending right now with this governor. But the point is, at least make that spending as good as it can be. And, you know, we're looking at the crazy things that are being uncovered at the federal level that we've spent our money on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to eliminate as many of those crazy things as we can find, and also make sure not all the money just goes to southeastern Michigan. That's like what I've been elected to do. Then when we win the governor back and we have, you know, our own trifecta, we need to make job number one slashing this budget, because I think she's proposing $86 billion. And just a few years ago, the budget was like $50 billion. I mean, that is incredible, a rise in spending here. And we're going to have to address that as soon as we possibly can.
Absolutely. We are speaking with State Senator John DeMoos. John, thank you for making the time to check in and get us informed on the latest that happened last night in Lansing.
Thanks, Nick. I always like talking to you. I appreciate it.